Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. As we start this new year, I think that this episode is one that you are going to want to get your pen and paper out. You're going to want to listen and really take notes and take to heart what we're going to share, because I have Karen Eamon in studio, and she and Ruth Schwenk are the author of the new book, The Love Your Life Project, 40 Days to Prioritize Your Passions, Cultivate Productive Habits, and Refuel with Times of Rest. And this book is not so much a book as a workbook and really a manual to help you work through your priorities and really help you cultivate great habits and also to prioritize rest. And so we are going to talk about some very specific things that you can do to help you to prioritize, to help you to have better habits, and to help you to rest more. And so, Karen, I'm so excited to have you joining me today. This has been a long time in coming to get you in studio. Was it 3 years ago that we tried to schedule a podcast? And then I think we've had multiple podcasts scheduled since then. And there's been just one thing after another that it then hasn't worked out. So Thanks for joining me. I'd love for you to start, since you're a new guest to the show, with just introducing yourself and your family.
Sure. So I'm married to my college sweetheart, Todd, and we have, well, I like to say we have six kids, three biological and three by marriage, but I kind of forget which are which because I love them all. And we just had our first grandchild about, well, almost 3 years ago, who lives in Tennessee, not too far from here. So guess where I'm headed when we're done. And I'm a writer for Proverbs 31 Ministries. I write for the First Five app, which is a Bible study app, and also write devotions for them, which I think you also do as well. And I love to speak, and I love to just help women to live their priorities and love their life. Mm.
And you've also written 21 books.
Yes, ma'am.
When did you start writing books?
Well, I started my first book in third grade, never finished it. Back then I wanted to write fiction. Okay. But my first book that is nonfiction that actually got published, I actually self-published in 2001. Mm-hmm. And since then have mostly authored by myself, but sometimes I've co-authored with Ruth Schwenk mostly. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like people think, how can you write so many books? But to me, writing is just talking on paper, and I love to talk. So I always have something to say.
Well, I think also it's not just the writing, but that it's all of the details around the book. You know, it's the marketing, like they say, writing is 5% of the process, mm-hmm. you know, then the marketing and all of that. Like, it's a lot of work to release a book. So to have done it 21 times, that is very impressive.
Well, and when I first started, obviously internet was around, but social media wasn't so big. So I think the first two or three books, it wasn't as big of an undertaking with all that they expected to do for marketing and social media and all of that. It's definitely, the workload has definitely increased over the years as the ways to get the message out has increased.
Yeah. And you probably had to really pivot and learn a lot of, you know, it's like, I feel like the internet is always this changing thing where you are, you know, first it's like, we just had blogs and we had email, and then we had this thing called Facebook. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have Instagram and Pinterest, and then there's Instagram Live and Story. You know, it's so many different things and so many different places. And so it's amazing to me that you have just kept at it for all these years and continue to produce content. I think I would be really tired.
I am tired. I will say that.
But you keep doing it. So, okay. Well, I think some of it probably has to do with the fact that you have some really good habits instilled. And you were just telling me before, and I was asking you, how do you not repeat stories? And then you showed me how you have this whole system for writing down stories and capturing them and then really making sure that, you know, how you have used them and all of that, which is so incredible. But in this book, The Love Your Life Project, you have some chapters where you talk about some of these habits. And I wanted us to talk about some of these in real practical ways, because I think as we start this new year, you know, we're thinking of habits and people talk about resolutions and it's like, this is the year that I want to get more organized or whatever. But I think it starts out with really understanding your priorities. And you talk about that in this book, and you have they're 40 days. And so you and Ruth switch off writing the different days. But on day six, you have a chapter on, is God saying no, go, or slow? And I think that it's so important. It's so easy for us to just, you know, oh, that sounds like such a good idea. Or, oh, I want to do that. And we jump into it. And so how do we really process through that question of, is God saying no, go, or slow?
I think first of all, we need to recognize that our decisions don't just affect us, especially if you're a mom and have family, or even if you're not married or don't have children, but you have other responsibilities in your family. Maybe you have an aging parent or, you know, whatever it is. I think we don't always realize the ripple impact that our yeses are going to have on other people in our family. I specifically remember, and I may have written about it on this day, being asked to speak at a conference I so wanted to speak at. And I was so honored and thrilled that I got asked that I almost said yes without even checking with my husband and checking the calendar. And then I realized it was on my son's fifth birthday. Mm. And we were supposed to have a big birthday party. They get parties when they turn 5, 10, and 13, and 16. Those are the years they get parties. And I knew he would know that we had to move his party to a different weekend and not his actual birthday if I said yes to this conference. So I had to take into account the ripple effect it would have on others in my family, my season of life, my mental and physical capacity at the time. You know, I had little babies running around still, and I said no. And part of me was pretty upset because I really, really wanted to do that conference. But then fast forward to the year that he was 14, I got asked to speak at the same conference again. This time, he went with me, as did all my kids, and he got to go backstage and meet Toby Mac and Thousand Foot Crutch. I still remember he was big fans of theirs. And so I said, yes, it was the same ask, but a totally different season of life, a totally different way it was going to impact my children. And so we need to take that into account and not just think, oh, is this something I really want to do or I've always wanted to do, but to realize we all have different seasons of life. We have people, we have projects, and navigating the tension between them, it's a hard thing to do, but we need to prayerfully and carefully take it before the Lord, not to give a, my husband calls them Sunday school answer, but it really does start, Crystal, with praying. Like, Lord, I have this opportunity, or I have maybe the responsibility someone's asked me to do at church that's going to be like a year-long commitment for a committee or whatever. I have this responsibility, but I also have these relationships. How are my yeses going to affect my relationships?
And I think it's so important to recognize that there, like you said, there are different seasons. And I think for me, having three children in 5 years and then having a 10-year gap and then bringing home four babies in 2.5 years, like I've really been able to see that and experience that of, and knowing that the season that I'm in right now is not going to be forever. And so there are a lot of things that I am saying no to right now, but knowing that later on, as my kids get older, I will probably have more capacity and ability to be able to do some other things. And so it's not no forever.
Correct.
A lot of times, you know, it's just no for now. And that a lot of times will give me peace to know, okay, this is where God has me right now. And I can trust him in that. And I love how you talk about really thinking of your relationships when you think about your responsibilities, because I feel like we live in a culture that talks so much about just, you know, what do you want? Like, what feels good to you? And how is that going to make you feel? And is that something that, you know, when you hear, you know, someone is asking you to do that, you know, do you immediately just think, yes, I want to do that? Well, then you should do it. And are we stopping and praying or really seeking the wisdom of the Lord, but then also the wisdom of, you know, what is going, how is this going to impact those people in our lives? So I really appreciate you talking about that. One of the things I wanted to mention in this book that I love is that in each of the chapters, you have just practical ways to work through the ideas. It's not just, here's the idea, but you have verses, you have questions, you have journaling, you have, dig deeper. You have different podcasts and books and things for people to really dig into that deeper. And I think that it's just such a valuable resource to have all of that. Okay, we're going to jump into another habit, and this one is one that I'm working on right now, and that is day 8, you talk about being the boss of your screams. Mm-hmm. So have you always been the boss of your screams?
Oh, ma'am, no, 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 not at all. In fact, I let my screams boss me around way too much, even though, like, I would honestly say, compared to most people, I'm probably average in how I use my cell phone and my screens. But average is still too much. You know, I just think so much has changed in our culture with this dawn of the digital age. I mean, think about years ago. If I wanted to call you on your landline phone, right? This is way long ago. And you didn't have an answering machine. The burden was on me to keep trying to call you to see if you were there. Well, now with cell phones, with direct messages on social media or emails, whatever it is, if I want something from you, I can just shoot you a text. Mm-hmm. Now the burden's on you to return it. And so often I just feel like I pick up my phone and there's a whole bunch of people trying to boss me around. Mm. Send me this link. Hey, what's that recipe again you mentioned? There's emails, there's direct messages. There's all these ways people can contact us wanting something from us. And so if we don't have any boundaries in place, if we don't have any game plan for dealing with our screens, they become the boss of us. And it's doing something to our brains, the way we interact with our screens, our attention spans are shorter, and it's really calling the shots in our life rather than the other way around. Rather than letting your screens be a tool, they can be a great tool, we're letting them be a tangent, and they're knocking us off course, and they're bossing us around.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know that your screens are bossing you around? Like, what are some red flag indicators that your screen is becoming too much of a boss to you?
Well, I think one indication may be just that you're on your phone, you're with your phone too much. Just happened to me the other day. I went to Starbucks to get a drink. And I said to the lady when I got to the front, can I take my receipt from this and add it to my app? Because I don't have my phone with me. And she looked at me in horror. She said, you don't have your phone with you? Don't you feel nervous? I said, ma'am, I live a half mile from here. I'm okay. But I thought, you know, we do. So I think one indication is, do you feel panicked if you don't have your phone with you? If you run to the grocery store quick, or some people even go on a walk around their neighborhood and they feel panicked because they don't have their cell phone with them. They're a little maybe too tied to it. I think another indication is when you are in a relationship face-to-face with someone, talking to them in real life, is your phone present? Is it visible? Mm-hmm. Research has shown that even the presence of a cell phone when you're sitting with someone, like my phone just sitting here, Crystal, if you and I we're not on a podcast, we're just sitting having coffee at the coffee shop, and I've got my phone out, it does something to you because you know that at any minute that thing could beep or buzz or jiggle, and I might suddenly think that is more important than you. Wow. That's a big red flag. It's not, our phones are not a person, but we treat them like they're the most important person in our life, and it's ruining our relationships. And it's, as I said before, it's putting in boundaries that is such an important thing in overcoming that. I don't even want to say addiction to our phone, but it's our fond affection for our phones and letting them call the shots. We need to use them as a tool and not let them dictate our every move.
Mm. I read the book, The Unplugged Hours, this past year, and I'm challenging myself to be 1,000 hours unplugged this year. And by that, it's not just like, oh, my phone's off, but it's very intentional. Like, I'm actually using that time, like spending it with a friend or investing it with my spouse or investing in my kids or working on an organizing project or doing something to fill up my soul, reading a book, that sort of thing. And it's been so good for me to track that because I think to recognize how often we don't have a full hour that we're unplugged. Like for me, at least, maybe you are real great at it. But for me, I realized, you know, as I, every day I'm trying to fill in 3 bubbles to like be 3 full hours. And that's been so good to have that accountability of like, was I fully off my phone for 3 full hours throughout the day? And to realize just kind of that relief you feel when it's like, I've been trying to turn my phone off at 8 p.m. and just like turn it off, put it away. And it's like,
which, you know,
so
what?
Good.
I think I texted you past 8 p.m. yesterday and you didn't respond. Good for you, because your phone was off. I was just trying to tell you I arrived, all right? But yeah, I think too, another like little tip I would give is, I mentioned a minute ago, back if we were in the days when we had a landline, I've tried probably now for 3 years to treat my phone like it's a landline. I keep it in my kitchen. on a counter where there's a charger. So when I need to charge it, it's plugged in. And other than that, I don't take it with me. Mm-hmm. If I go down to my office to work, my text messages come through on my computer. I don't need my phone there. Mm-hmm. Because if someone does need to get a hold of me during work hours and I'm in my home office, I can see that text on my computer. And it is a better way for me to communicate through text messaging rather than my phone, because what does my phone do to me when I just go to return Crystal's text message? Oh, look, this notification popped up. Somebody said something somewhere, and I just got to know what it is, right? And so we start tapping and swiping and scrolling, and we're suddenly sucked in for 15 minutes or more when all I was trying to do was return your text message. Mm-hmm. I don't do that on my computer. Mm-hmm. So my phone is kind of like a landline. My husband laughs at me. I keep it in there overnight. I don't take it in my bedroom anymore. Haven't for probably 3 years. I leave it plugged in there overnight. It's going to ring if one of my children, who all live far away from me, if they need me, it will ring and I will hear it. Mm-hmm. But I don't need all of this beeping and buzzing and notifications, even though I have a lot of those silenced. I have enough of them on that it's beck and call. It's not my beck and call. You know, all of those sounds that emit from our phone, we just think there's something better in there than what's in front of me right now. The work that's in front of me, the person that's in front of me. And it's really affecting us.
Mm. Yeah. You talked about notification silence. That's one thing for me. Like, I have almost zero notifications that I allow on my phone, because I just can't, like, I'm just going to constantly be like, oh, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, unless it's literally a phone call or text message, and I don't give my phone number out to almost anyone, I'm very careful with that, just because I'm like, if you want to contact me, you can email me, or you can contact me through social media, which sounds terrible, but it's like, I feel like then I have a little bit more control over when I check that versus my phone. It's like, that's for people who I, you know, like my family and that sort of thing. And so that's been helpful to me to kind of set those boundaries where it's like, then when it's my work time, I can check those things.
Right.
But when it's my home time, then it's just like somebody who I actually know in real life well. You also talk about some different things that you suggest, and you talk about checking the amount of time you spent on your phone at the end of a day, going into your settings and choosing screen time.
Oh, you know what? The first time that this happened to me, I'm going to say it was 5 years ago. My friend and accountability partner, I have a love-hate relationship with her because I love her to pieces, but she calls me out on some things. We were talking about the amount of time we spent on our phone, and I think this was before your phone could automatically track all of this, but there was an app, an external app that you could put on your phone that would show you how much time you spent on your phone. And she challenged me to see how much time I was on my phone. And of course, I thought, as I said before, I'm kind of average. It's probably not bad. And if you were to have asked me, how much time do you spend on your phone, especially at night? My husband works really early in the morning, so he goes to bed by 8 o'clock at night. And so I'm going to bed till at least 10 or 11. And so those were the times I was really tempted to be on my phone. But if you were to have asked me, you know, once you get into bed, you've read a book, whatever, say, you know, goodbye to the day and you crawl in bed, how much are you on your phone? I probably would have said, Twitter's my thing. Like, I don't post on Twitter, X now, very much, but I like to get my news there and my stories and see what's going on. And I would have probably estimated that I spent maybe 15 minutes before I went to bed per night. Well, when I had that external app that tracked my phone time usage, which now our phones will do for us, it came back that I was on 49 minutes average per night, 7 days a week. That's almost 7 hours. And so if you were to have asked me, you know, could you, you know, do this new project, or maybe there's a hobby I wanted to take up or whatever, I would say, well, I don't have any time. I'm so thin on time. I have 7 hours, but I was sitting there scrolling, looking at what's going on Twitter. It was ridiculous. And so that was the time that I started to think, I got to put some parameters. After 5 o'clock, I need to not be on this thing. I know some people get a little maybe antsy about that and think, but what if my family does need me? But there are ways to put different kinds of do not disturbs on your phone. So it's not that it doesn't allow calls from anyone, but I have one that only allows calls and text messages from my family. And so that's what it goes into at 5 o'clock. And it's amazing to me now that I've been more intentional to say, I'm not going to let this thing run my life and call the shots. I'm not going to make it be a tangent that I just am dinking around on all the time. I'm going to treat it like a landline. I'm going to keep it plugged in. I'm going to shut it off at 5 o'clock, except for my family. And once I go in my bedroom, I'm not taking it with me, even though it's so tempting because my husband's, you know, he sleeps in a different room because he gets up at 2:30 a.m. So it's just me all alone and I like my phone. But we have to just really be intentional about it or it's just going to rule our lives.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I was having coffee with a friend on Sunday and we were talking about how it's those evening hours. Like for us, we both have younger kids. And so it's after they go to bed and it's like, nobody needs us. So then that's where the temptation is to scroll because yes. It's like checking out of our right. real life on our phone because it's like, oh, it just feels so good. Nobody needs me. And I can just scroll and waste, just mindlessly scroll. It's like, what is that helping me? Sleep would be so much better. Reading a book would be so much exactly. better. Maybe doing a project. And so that's why this year, me setting the goal of turning off my phone at 8 o'clock, because I realized that that's the time after 8 o'clock when I'm tempted to just mindlessly scroll. And then I will end up staying up later than I should because I'm, you mm-hmm. know, checking out the life of somebody that I don't have a clue who they are and reading their whole, you know, story of, sometimes it's like this traumatic story. And then I go to bed all afraid that like, oh, that's going to happen to my child too, or something. I'm like, what is that doing mm-hmm. for me?
Well, and I just want to say too, we need to also not be so hard on ourselves about it because the deck is stacked against us. The makers of these different things intentionally design things so that it will be addictive. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard this before, but even that motion of pulling down your screen to refresh on your phone, it mimics a slot machine. They did it intentionally because you keep thinking, well, if I just scroll a little bit more on Instagram or a little bit more on Twitter, I'm going to find what I'm looking for. We don't know what we're looking for, Crystal, but we're looking for something. And so, and dopamine is involved in it, that feel good, you know, thing that goes rushing through our brain. And so we're just like wired to keep trying and scrolling. And maybe the next time I'll hit the jackpot of the story I'm really looking for. But if you ask most people, when they're mindlessly scrolling on their phone in their beds at night, what are you looking for? They don't know. Mm-hmm. But they're just looking for something that's better than what they've got right mm-hmm. in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to myself. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to myself. And as I've learned, I know what you're talking about with the 1,000 unplugged hours. I just recently heard about that. I didn't intentionally do that. But just in the last couple of years, trying to do a swap of don't be on your phone at night, I ended up reading a lot of fiction. I've never read fiction in my whole life until the last couple of years. And someone challenged me to read fiction. I had a goal of reading 52 books. I think I read 47 in 2024. And it was because I was spending that time that I usually was on my phone at night when my husband was already sound asleep because he gets up so early to read fiction. So don't think of it as something being taken away from you. It's something that is maybe designed to keep you addicted that you're going to purposely put away, but replace it with something else. Spend time reading your Bible, write in a journal. If you've always wanted to cross stitch, learn to cross stitch, do something else to keep yourself occupied rather than just doing that slot machine of there's going to be something, just one more swipe. And then just something's going to be there that I'm looking for.
Well, and I think like giving yourself permission, you know, maybe it's that you say 15 minutes, like I'm going to scroll for exactly. 15 minutes because it's like, I find lots of recipes. I do get lots of inspiration mm-hmm. for lots of different things from the internet. And I mean, I'm on the internet. I'm not saying that the internet is wrong, but having those boundaries yes. for me and just, I realize that if I go to bed earlier, I feel so much better. It's so much better for my health. And so for me, it was that thing of recognizing like, I'm going to prioritize my health by saying I'm going to put my phone away because I don't have the self-discipline yes. which go to bed early unless my phone's away.
Which also luckily built into our phones are time limits. I don't know if you've seen that on social media. You can say, and I have mine set for 15 minutes and it reminds you your time's up. Do you want to ignore the limit yes. and go 15 more minutes or do you want to ignore it for the day? And there are sometimes I do have to ignore it because I don't know, I have something going on online that I need to tend to. I'm just like you. The internet's important to what I do, but it's putting those parameters and those time limits. Yeah, exactly.
One of my real life friends was raving about this specific supplement on social media. And she talked about it so much and how it made her feel so much better. It really helped her pregnancy be so much smoother. And she's had a lot of kids. So I was like, paying attention to that. And she talked about it so highly that I was like, I need to check this out. Well, it is called DS01. It's a clinically validated 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic. And because of her high recommendation, I started taking it myself. It's formulated with 24 strains that support your whole body, including reducing bloating, supporting radiant skin, supporting immune health, and strengthening the gut barrier. I have noticed that since I started taking it, I feel so much more energetic. And I love that. And I also love that it's super easy to take, 2 little capsules right before I go to bed. And it's like something that I'm doing for my health, a gift that I'm giving to myself without much effort at all. Maybe one of your goals for 2025 is to prioritize your health or to work on some areas where you feel like your health is not doing so well. This would be a great thing to check out. Ready to experience a probiotic that actually works? Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal. If you want to set your child up for success, but maybe your child is struggling in a specific subject in school, or they're needing help with their homework and you just feel like, I don't know where to turn, I don't know how to help them. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. And I can tell you, Silas used IXL for his math class. He loved the real-time data that you would get. He's such a person who loves all the graphs and charts and that sort of thing, very different than me. And it really motivated him to see exactly where he was doing and how he was doing. And he actually wanted to work ahead because of the motivation that he got from IXL. This program has been proven to improve kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's going to work for any of your kids. This is the cool thing. You know, every child learns differently, but IXL has used advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter their age or personality. And I love this part. One subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. And if your child is struggling, this is such a smart investment. It'll also save you money because a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. And I love that IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Crystal Payne podcast show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Moving into rest, because I think this really segues well with, you know, like I talked about, less time on my phone, better habits with my phone has allowed me to rest more. You have on day 16, the first Sunday secret for a productive and peaceful week. And you talk about how so often people dread Mondays and a way that we can kind of turn that around. And that's with really prioritizing rest on Sunday or having a weekly Sabbath. Some people can't have, you know, maybe if they work at a church or something right. like that, they're not able to have Sunday be their Sabbath, but having that Sabbath day in the week, what has that looked like for you?
Well, when I first started out my adult life, I was married right out of college to someone who was a pastor. So our Sundays were anything but restful. We had not only, you know, Sunday school and church back then that we were responsible for, but we had 2 youth groups later in the afternoon and the evening, and Sunday was not a time of rest. And so I just set up this pattern that I was just on full go mode 7 days a week. And it wasn't until I had kids and, you know, grew a little bit older that I realized I really do need to have a pause in my week. God put that there in scripture, right, in Genesis for a reason. You know, even he rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. It just means he ceased producing. He stopped for a while, and we need to do that as well. And as I've been more intentional to do that, I've really learned that we don't rest because, you know, we're tired and we deserve a break from all of our hard work. We rest to be filled up and to face the new 7 days that are ahead of us. And so I think whether it can be Sunday or whatever the day of the week it is, it's really important that we not only just rest, which take a nap is great, that kind of rest, but also that we just cease producing, just like God did, that we stop. So I on purpose don't, Sundays are my Sabbath, I don't create anything. I don't sit and write blog posts. I don't sit and think of my social media and what I want to post that week. I don't create any kind of content. I do try to take a nap if I can. And I try to also do things that just give my brain a break, whether that's, you know, participating in some kind of hobby, like I like to herb garden, do something like that, or go for a walk. But just to take a break from your norm, whatever your normal week looks like with your work that you have, whether it's inside or outside the home, to just stop producing, take a break from that normal routine, do something different, something that was special, something that makes the Sabbath different. That whole concept of the Sabbath being holy was meant different from the rest of the week. So even when our kids were little, we had different things we only did on Sunday. We only had our sugary dessert on Sunday. There were certain videos they loved to watch. They could only watch them on Sunday. We really tried to make it a special day of delight that was set apart and that was all about resting so that we could do what God was calling us to do in the week that was coming up.
I love that. And one of my friends, she's actually a friend from social media, but she was talking recently how making Sunday this really special day for our kids, it signifies to them that it's not this day of, oh, it's Sunday, we go to church, but it's like, it's Sunday. Mm-hmm. We do all these exciting, fun things and like helping them to look forward to Sunday and having these special things. I love that you're talking about dessert on Sunday mm-hmm. or movies on Sunday.
We also used to do mystery trips. Mm. Like they would know that we were going to go someplace fun on Sunday afternoon, but they didn't know where it was. Everybody, we just say mystery trip and they get in the car and it might just even be, you know, out for ice cream into their favorite park in a part of the city that we never typically went to or whatever. But we'd have these like little mystery tours that we would go on. We also, I remember my daughter, I don't know why this just popped in my mind. I had this wonderful hand cream, this vanilla, really thick, all natural, expensive hand cream my mother-in-law had gotten me. And I loved that stuff. And I was so afraid I was going to go through it fast and not have it. And my daughter said, let's make it Sunday cream. And so we only used that smelly, you know, beautiful, you smell like a vanilla cookie on Sundays. We would put it on right before we went to church. It was just silly. But I do think that my kids look back at Sundays as that was one of their favorite days of the week because it was different. We had those mystery tours, but we did start it off with being together with other people and worshiping God. Mm. And we did get rest. And yes, they had to take a nap if I was going to take a nap.
One of the things that I have been trying to do also with the unplugged is to be more unplugged on Sunday, because I think that I had gotten into this really bad habit of kind of shoving things to Sunday and that being the day like, oh, I can finish that project on Sunday. You know, it's like that kind of free day in the calendar that I could do these things. And then I realized, you know, you're talking about like working 7 days a week. And I'm like, no wonder I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. And God designed our bodies to rest. And it's also a way for us to, it's kind of like that tithe where we're saying like, we're going to work for 6 days and we're going to give the seventh day to the Lord, or the first day of the week, we're going to give this to the Lord, and that we're going to trust Him to really allow us to be able to get done what we need to get done on the other 6 days.
Yes.
Like for me, it's this heart posture of saying, I'm going to trust you, God, that all the things that need to get done with the business and the house and the kids and all of that, 6 days are enough. Mm-hmm. And the seventh day that I'm going to use that for just spending time with other people, like doing things that are just very different than the rest of my week, as in like just hanging out with friends and no agenda and no to-do list and, you know, just going to church and resting and reading. And I think for me, it's been so good because even if I feel like I'm heading into Sunday and I didn't get everything done, but I still take that day where I just keep the computer off, keep the phone off. Monday comes and I'm like, I feel so refreshed and I can go into this week and I can, whatever rolled over from last week, I can get that done. Whereas if I try to work all Sunday, then I go into Monday and I'm exhausted.
Yeah. And then you're not as productive as you would have been if you had taken a break. And I think another thing too, not only just is it nice to, like you said, have no agenda, just do whatever, but it's nice to not have that phone be beeping and buzzing at us. So another little tip I'll say that I learned from one of my friends. Saturday night before you go to bed, delete all the social media apps off of your phone and don't put them back on until Monday morning. You can reload them. They'll still be there. Wait, you're not going to lose any friends or followers or anything. But I had a friend challenge me to do that. She said, before you go to bed Saturday, take those apps off your phone so you're not even tempted at all on Sunday to be mindlessly scrolling because they're not on your phone.
And you know what's interesting? If you take the apps off, well, maybe this hasn't happened for you, but for me it has, where you... pick up your phone and your finger will automatically go to the spot. Like for me, it's an Instagram app. And I'm like, oh, it's not there. And like,
that you realize, muscle memory.
And I'm like, that's terrible. Like without even thinking, my finger just goes to like where the Instagram is supposed to be. And I'm like, that's probably an indication that I need to be taking it off more. You also talk about, you know, you could just put your phone in do not disturb mode for the entire day. So again, if you're worried like, oh, somebody needs to get a hold of me or something like that, you can do that. And I've just really found like that practice of setting my phone aside, like just, it helps me to make sure, am I too tethered to my phone? Like, am I able to just put it away and not think about it? Or if I put it away, I'm like, oh, what's happening on my phone? Like that's an indication that I am too connected to my phone and I need to have some space from it. I just appreciate so much how you share all these practical ideas in this book and you really encourage people. You walk them through really this whole process of gaining clarity. And as we close, I'd love for you to just share a little bit more about the book. I know we talked some specific days or chapters from the book, but tell us a little bit more kind of holistically about this book and what your heart and Ruth's heart was in creating it.
Well, what's so funny is you'd think somebody, you know, two people who wrote a book called The Love Your Life Project must have great lives that they lives that they really love. But Ruth and I actually really came up with this idea during a really dark time for both of us. Her husband was battling cancer. He is since deceased, and we actually dedicated the book to Pat. And I was going through a time where within less than 4 years, I lost 10 family members, including all four of our parents, aunts, uncles, cousins. And we were just out at Panera one day and talking about how we were still able to find pockets of joy in our lives, even though for both of us, it was a really dark time. And what things we had put in place over the years and the ways God had challenged us and encouraged us and verses we had clung to and all this. And we're like, we should put this in a book because you can really love. And so many people are looking for the life that they love, but they don't realize it's the one they already live. We're just not having the proper perspective of seeing not that we love our circumstances because they're so joyful, but seeing the growth that comes through dark circumstances. And so that was really kind of the beginning of the book, was us just talking about how God still was bringing us joy, not situational happiness, but deep joy despite the dark times. And so we set out to make a product that was 40 days of its content. So it's kind of like a regular book. You know, there's stories in it. There's biblical teaching. We love to unpack like the meaning of different Hebrew and Greek words in scripture. But then we wanted people to take it home and make it theirs. And so besides the teaching in it, there are reflection questions, there are prayers, there is a section each day to write out your own prayer on whatever the topic was that day. There's a dig deeper section where we might suggest another book that goes deeper into that day's topic, or a podcast to listen to, or a YouTube episode to watch. But it's kind of part book and part Bible study and part journaling workbook, so that when people are done, they can look back at the progress that they've made and realize that the life they've always wanted can be the one they already have. Because when you have the right perspective and you realize what matters most, then you really can learn to live your priorities and love your life.
I love that so much. The other thing I love is at the back of the book, you encourage people to go through it with a friend.
Yes.
And you have a whole setup so that they could actually do it as a group study. And you have icebreaker questions, like you walk them through exactly how they could do it as a group study, and which I think is so valuable. I just really appreciate that you're encouraging people to start right where they are, like to look right in front of them, because I think so often we think if my circumstances change, then I'm going to be happy. You know, when I get that job, when I get married, when I have my child, when my child graduates, when my child's potty trained, you know, when my child goes to kindergarten, whatever it is, like we're thinking like, that's when I'm going to start being able to do X, Y, Z, or feel more fulfilled, or have more time, or be more organized, or, you know, have the better habits. But starting right where you are, what can you do with what you have right where you are. And this book really is this resource guide to walk you through how to make that happen in such a step-by-step way, but you do it in also such a gentle way. It's not a, you know, like you were talking earlier, not being legalistic about things, but really gently making these habit shifts that are ultimately going to help you love your life more. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you so much for writing this book. And thank you to Ruth as well. I wish she could be here with us. And I just would encourage everyone listening, if you are feeling like you're stuck, if you're feeling like you just wish that you had better priorities, or you figured out how to love the life that you have right now, that you want to love it, but you don't know where to start, the Love Your Life Project, 40 Days to Prioritize Your Passions, Cultivate Productive Habits, and Refuel with Times of Rest by Karen Eman and Ruth Schwenk. I would highly recommend that you get yourself a copy. I loved this episode with Karen Eman. I was so inspired by so many things that she shared in the Love Your Life Project. And I feel like we had so many more things we could have talked about that would have just really been so beneficial and so challenging. I tried to just pick some of the top things, but there were many others that I would have loved to talk about. And so you need to get yourself a copy of the Love Your Life Project by Ruth Schwenk and Karen Eman. And also, if you are struggling right now with feeling overwhelmed with your life, if you would love more order, I have some free printables that are designed specifically to help you to be able to have a more orderly life and home. Now, they're not going to fix everything, but sometimes just having a checklist can be so helpful, especially if you're like, I don't even know where to start. So we're going to link them in the show notes. And there are two different types of checklist, because we know that not every woman has the same type of life. And so there are some that are for people who are outside the home most of the day and some who are at home most of the day. So you can look through them and pick out which checklist would be best for you. But there are daily and monthly checklists to just help you to have more order, more calm, and more intention in your life, and to be able to tackle those little things that are like, oh, it's just always weighing over your head. You don't need to worry about it anymore, because now you're going to have a checklist. Just print it out and let it be your guide to help you to be able to live your life with better priorities. And like Karen talked about in this episode, to be able to live with intention and love your life more.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.